Welcome to Dark Side Down Under. What episode are we, love?
We're episode 26, love.
That's a dollar.
Why is it a dollar?
Well, I'll give you the hot tip. The reason it's a dollar, when we lived in WA, we have a betting syndicate and we play darts every Wednesday night. And if you were to hit 26, which is easy to do because you're always going for 20 or triple 20, 5, 1 and a 10, 20, it's 26. You get it more times than not, you get a dollar on the board, and that goes to pay for our social club things. So, yeah, every time I hear 26, it's a dollar. We've got some new
Nice.
listeners
Well,
this
there you
month,
go.
love. Would you like to know where from?
You didn't introduce me.
Oh, sorry. I'll introduce
Very rude.
my lovely wife, the hostess with the mostest. How you going, Kaggy?
That was a bit slack.
It wasn't it?
Yeah. That's okay. You were more interested in talking about darts, but that's
I
fine.
was, I was. We've
I know
got
the score.
a couple new listeners, maybe more. Welcome Austria and welcome Dubai. That's awesome. Thank you very much. Look, this is going to be the last one of the year.
Tis.
so
Well, this is
26 is
our,
pretty good.
it's not our Christmas special. I should have written a Christmassy story, but I didn't.
Jingle bells. I can tell you a Chrissy story if you'd like, a local one of Adelaide, of a man I recently met who's
Yeah.
the backup driver for that Santa Claus float, which we can talk about that a bit later. But we just want to see if this is going to work. Golden rule is you don't eat on the pod. But we're going to introduce a new segment, YouTube, something like that on Facebook. It's going to be called Wacky Snacky. So it's Wacky Snackies from all around the country, around the world. And yeah, we're going to buy them in the local grocer, an Asian grocer, and any grocer that we can find them in. And this week's, I found these nut these Magorin potato chips,
Magorin.
and Magorin just happens to be one of Kaggy's favorite
I like me an instant
foods.
noodle. What can I
So look,
say?
what I would like to do is just open this packet. I'll give you a little chip just so we don't make a lot of noise, and you can tell me what you think of that.
Okay, it smells good.
Smells
You
good.
always just dive in. You
Sorry,
never wait
straight in.
for me. It smells like soy sauce and Magorin.
Wow, this is wacky snacky. Wow.
It tastes like
It
Magorin.
tastes like Magorin. It's pretty good,
Holy
isn't it?
fuck.
It's great. How
That's
good
so
would that
weird.
be with your Magorin noodles with them crunched on top?
Oh my God, you're an evil
Wow.
man.
Well, that's wacky snacky coming hopefully in
Delicious.
2023.
Yeah, a little teaser for you.
And if you have anything you'd like us to try from your hometown, your neck of the
Ooh,
woods,
that's
if
exciting.
it's something we can get here, we will endeavor to do so. And yeah, and I'll even try and talk my lovely wife into eating one of my favorite foods,
Us.
honey, if I'm lucky, an Aussie classic, Vegemite, which she
Well,
despises. But
I'm
yeah,
not.
so that's pretty exciting. So yeah, welcome everybody.
Vegemite serves only as a drop biff repellent.
Oh, come on. Okay, wacky snacky. So how wacky was that snacky, and how snacky was that wacky, love? 1 to 5, how wacky was the snacky?
What, how wacky was the snacky? Well, let's face it, it's an instant noodle flavored potato chip, which
Makes
is
sense. It
genius,
makes
kind
sense.
of genius. It does
Checking
make
all the
sense.
boxes.
I think on the wacky snail scale, on the wacky snail, it's not the wackiest idea because Magorin is a very popular flavor, so I'm probably gonna go about a three
Hey, I'm going to give it a
because
one
there's
half to two on the
difference.
wacky because it's not that wacky.
Well, it's wackier than like say a barbecue chip or a sour cream and
Yeah, okay.
chives.
I'm sticking with 1.5.
Okay.
Okay, how snacky was the wacky?
Oh, it was very snackable. I would give it a five.
Yeah, I'm going 4 definitely.
Yeah.
It's way up there. Loved it.
Very much
Anyway.
enjoyed it. It's made in Indonesia. You can get it at your local supermarket and
At
probably
the
any
moment,
of your
yeah.
import stores. I'd go ahead and give it a go,
Most
guys.
definitely. Look, that's not going to be a regular on the, sorry, that's not going to be a regular on the pod next year. It's something we're going to have a crack at with a bit of videoing and whatever we can do. So
Yeah, so
very
have fun.
exciting. A bit of fun.
Yeah.
We want people to play along at home.
Lovely. So, Bluey, seeing as
Yes.
how it is the season final,
Yeah.
I believe you promised me a Christmas
Oh, well,
story.
look, it's not much. It's not
Just a
a
little Christmas
Okay, a
yarn.
little, it's more, yeah, it's hitting, that's ticking the Christmas yarn box. So I met this fella. He's been doing this for about 10 years. And look, the details are going to be probably online, but I might embellish a little bit because that's what we're all, well, so I
It's all
certainly
about
like to do.
content.
So for the last 10 or 15 years, he's been driving the backup car. So every year they have a Christmas pageant in a lot of places. Adelaide is certainly one that does it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have floats. And the last float, I've never actually been because we're living in the country, so we don't get there, but when we were kids. But the last float is traditionally pulling Santa. And there's a little cart up front pulling them. And these carts are just like the baggage handling carts you see in airports. Mm-hmm. And behind Santa is a backup cart. And this is just in case the, I don't know, do we call it Santa One?
Yeah.
Santa One goes down. And he's driving an Ansett car. So for those non-Australians out there or those that are probably under the age of 30, Ansett was an airline used to compete against Qantas here that went bust many years ago.
No, they make cars for Santa.
Well, no, this car used to work on the runways. And,
oh, I see. It's like the little buggy.
Yeah, it's a little buggy you sit up top. So it doesn't, they're not very big, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's supposed to happen is if that cart breaks down in the run, he jumps on and gets to save the day. So the cool thing about it is there's two old boys in Santa One, and he's in Santa Two, we will name him. And, he said the only chance he's going to ever get to drive Santa One is if one of the two fellas pull the pin, as in fade away.
Yeah.
Cark it. So,
it's highly coveted.
Highly coveted. So, yeah, his kids are grown up and long gone, but he still does this year after year. And
that's so cool.
In the next 10 or 15 years, he's hoping for a run at it, which I was just fascinated
with. That's so cool.
But one of the other cool things, and those of you under the age of 10, I don't know when this is supposed to run out. You could turn your ears off right now. But there's many Santas out there, so this doesn't matter. You know, in this time of year, there's Santas, but lots of helpers.
Santa.
There's lots of helpers helping Santa. So Santa in his little Santa's sleigh getting dragged along by Santa One has got a panic button. Because behind Santa Two is an ambulance. You know, for anybody that needs assistance. But if Santa's been having a dabbling a bit too hard in the old eggnog, or more likely because it could be 40 degrees,
heat stroke
in a 40 degree day and a number of things, he can press a panic button. So what happens when he presses panic?
Are we allowed to be telling these trade
probably
secrets?
Not. I wasn't told not to. I did not sign a non-disclosure.
Exactly.
So I'm getting it out there. And so what happens is Santa will press a panic button saying, look, I need assistance. And what happens? So they stop. And Santa 2 jumps out and gives Santa a hand, and people in Santa 1 jump out, and they'll get him into the back of the ambulance. But in the ambulance, there is always, what do you think it is, love?
A backup Santa.
There's a backup Santa.
Oh my God.
So every single year, there is a Santa waiting for the lead role.
Oh, just hoping that.
Yeah, so he's like Santa 2.
The original Santa might fall ill, so he can step up.
So he's sitting in the front of the ambo, no one can see him, he gets all dressed up. 9 times out of 10 or 99% of the time, he has got nothing to do.
That's hilarious.
Just for that one time, he presses that button. So,
do you know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
Like the young showgirl pushing the aging lead down the stairs in the hope of taking the lead role.
That definitely would be a great Santa Claus.
Oh, Santa versus Santa. That'd be great.
Yeah, so he presses the button. Story. The boys jump out. They get Santa. As Santa goes into the back of the ambulance, you can imagine all the kids in the audience going, oh, Santa. Oh, no, Santa. So sick Santa. Santa 1 goes in the back of the ambo if he needs to. And as soon as the back doors close, Santa 2 gets out of the front going, it's okay, kids, I'm okay, I just needed a drink of water. Let the show go on. So unbeknownst to anybody else, Santa's it's the same Santa. He's done just a quick run through, a little bit of hydration or a shot of whatever he needs to get the party started.
A little bit of Galliano.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I learned this.
That's cool. That's
so
really
as a backup
cool.
driver. So, yeah, always the bride, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. So I was wondering if it's the same Santa every year until he retires, and then the backup Santa takes the lead, so they hold auditions. Like, is there, if there's a backup to the backup, maybe, this is pretty, look, there needs to be some more research done into this. This is just a one conversation. I hope to interview him in the new year for maybe a Christmas special next year. And if that's just for Santa, you can imagine what else is going on.
Absolutely.
It's a world of its own.
And I tell you this, boys and girls.
Behind the reindeer, we're going to call it. Maybe not.
Boys and girls of Darksider Land, our very own Bluey once was a Santa's helper.
Yes.
And played Santa for all the little kiddies at the caravan park. To make out with Santa. It was a life goal I didn't know I had.
So we lived in the caravan park when we first moved to Bunbury because we had our bus and lived in there once we were looking for a place to rent. And we're over there Christmas. So we're going to a Christmas party with a family. And on the way out, they said, oh, look, could you do us a big favor and play Santa? And I was pretty hesitant. And she said, we'll give you 2 weeks free rent in the caravan park. So, look, it was about $500 or $220 a week.
So I essentially pimped you out.
Yeah, and all I had to do was sit in a golf buggy, drive around chucking lollies out to kids.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to, overhand into the faces with the lollies.
Yeah,
you were supposed to, maybe
Santa softball. Santa had his fun, drove around, and I went ho, 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 and rang my bell and buggered off. And after that, so it was, 15 minutes of work.
I just had a mental picture of you dressed as Santa in a golf buggy, like cricket bowling lollies into kids' faces.
I was wearing thongs, wearing my flip-flops.
You were wearing thongs.
Yeah, so.
How was that beard? Was it stinky?
Oh, and hot? Probably no less stinky than my own real life beard. Oh,
your beard's not stinky, love.
I did have a shower today, so got that done for the week.
Nice. Good one. Get it out of the way. Well.
So.
Good story.
Bit going on. It was good. I love it. What have you got for us today, love?
Well, love, it's a special story today. It's one of my personal favourites, mostly unknown, but for the life of me, I can't figure out why.
Okay.
So let's get stuck in without further ado. It's 1966, Bluey.
66.
Mm-hmm. The Sound of Music breaks the record for the highest grossing motion picture.
You're a bummin'.
The Vietnam War has seen American forces reach 385,000 troops being sent to the country to fight.
Wow.
The miniskirt reaches peak popularity. Batman, starring Adam West, debuts on the ABC.
Good old Westy.
Remember that one? Is that where they danced?
Good old Westy.
And on Wednesday, the 6th of April, Westall High School in Melbourne is in session. With around 200 students in the class, the first school holidays of the year is just around the corner, and kids would just as amped as the teachers were, I expect. Mr. Andrew Greenwood was teaching Form 2 science class when the classroom door burst open and a highly excited Form 1 student rushed in, yelling and pointing, "There's flying saucers outside! There's flying saucers outside!"
My attention.
The student had been taking part in PE out on the oval at about 10:15. The class, led by teacher Miss Janet Muir, I had a Mrs. Muir in my class school as well.
Muirsy.
As well as a couple of other teachers, the class was comprised of two groups of students. They were alerted by the cries and shrieks of other students and watched as a craft, which made no sound, appeared from above the school oval, approaching from, I can't remember which direction. I should have written it down.
Yeah, that's cool. One of the four.
Till it was directly over their heads. About 50 students and teachers watched for several minutes as the silver, white, shiny, metallic-looking object flew above them.
Awesome.
It was described as about the size of two cars and shaped like an upside-down bowl.
Cool.
I don't think it was hollow, though. I think it was flat on the bottom.
Yep.
It flew low over their heads, apparently as low as the footy posts.
Oh, that's pretty low.
That's pretty low.
Well, you could kick a footy into
these
it.
These aren't MCG footy posts. These are school football posts.
School football posts.
So it appeared to many that the craft was preparing to land, or maybe it was going to crash.
Oh.
Many of the watching students became panicked and distraught, which, I mean, that's understandable.
Yeah, definitely.
The teachers attempted to gather the children together and shepherd them towards the school buildings, trying to kind of like sheepdog them away. But the event was overwhelming to many of the kids. Sort of fell about the place.
Oh, wow. There was a few going down.
There was a few fainting. A few of them went down.
A few couldn't handle it. Thought it was Armageddon, the end of days.
Well, it was only the 60s. Yeah. So, yeah. They hadn't started drip feeding us imagery through the media yet.
Oh, Kagi with her. What is it?
My theories.
Your theories. Conspiracy theories. There's a few. Yeah. Well, you love it.
Don't even get me started on the Men in Black. According to witnesses, it had appeared seemingly out of nowhere, but seemed to be hovering with intent, like it was watching them.
Ooh.
Definitely being controlled, driven, if you will. Though there was certain it was not a balloon or an aircraft, It had no windows, no visible engine, no propellers, no wings, no fins, ropes, lights, markings, or letters. It was smooth and clean, and it made no sound.
Wow.
However, it was clearly flying and not floating.
What a cool thing to see.
Isn't that dope?
I think everybody in their life might get two or three absolutely brilliant things, unless you're in a cool job, like you're a fighter pilot or an astronaut or someone that just around cool shit all the time. So in your life, you only got a few moments to experience awesome things like this.
And isn't that incredible? Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you're telling stories like this, it's easy to forget this happened.
Yeah.
Like people saw this.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Some of the other witnesses actually spotted two other identical crafts higher up in the sky, kind of like providing backup. Maybe this was a scout.
He was a scout. He's out the front.
These ones sort of remained in the distance a little bit away. Isn't that so exciting?
Yeah. Someone's going to get probed.
So this is, I hope so.
No, you don't.
So this is when the young fella runs, I think it was a fella, could have been a girl, didn't actually say.
50% chance, love.
Runs into the school and bursts into the first class he reaches. Miss Greenwood reacts harshly, as one would, to the intrusion, and pretty much tells him to fuck off.
Yep.
Not literally. Well, it's the 60s, so maybe this, literally.
I have time for this.
Yeah. Oh, like I say, it's the 60s, so he might have literally said, fuck off, young man.
Fuck off, young
Who
man.
Who knows? He could have beaten him first.
Yeah.
The boy had run past the toilet block on the way to the class where he'd bumped into a young girl who got a sick note to get out of PPE. What do you think the excuse was? Let's figure it out. What was your excuse? What was your go-to PPE excuse?
Well, I could never use I have my period.
That was my go-to. I think that was most young women's go-to. You
should definitely have a period. But I never got out of PPE.
No?
No, I just wasn't very ever enthusiastic. The running and stuff, I was never enthusiastic. Team sports, I was pretty enthusiastic and competitive. But just running,
My gym really teacher must have just thought that I was on my period all of the time.
Yeah. Oh, no, your gym teacher, you were probably, the 5,000th girl that he dealt with, and he 100%. Just got sick of it.
He did. He's just like, I'll sit under the trees and leave me alone.
If you want to be a lazy bugger, you be a lazy bugger with a lazy buggers.
I had a gym teacher who was a woman, and she had a real disdain for me because I wasn't sporty and refused to be. And she really didn't like me.
You're letting the gender down, love. She's probably thinking you're letting the gender down.
I think so, but who cares? The young girl had been watching the class from the sidelines and had seen the crafts appear and approach the class. I think she'd sort of got scared and run inside from what I can read.
Yep.
She would later claim that she was certain the first one came down so low it was obscured by the perimeter fence, where she thinks it landed in a paddock near the school.
Oh,
we'll circle back to that.
It's happening.
It's pretty exciting. Later, she would lead classmates to the area where she thought it landed, and they find marks in the paddock left by the craft.
Oh, crop circles.
Right. Meanwhile, back in science class, Mr. Greenwood is trying to settle his class back down, but they're all wound up now.
On Mountain Dew.
A few minutes after the intrusion, the bell sounds for recess, which, thank God, he's probably thinking. Mr. Greenwood and his students all file out onto the oval, probably for a durry.
Spark of data. Old Smoko.
It's 60, so almost definitely. All right, kids.
Get the camels out.
Yeah, it's good for your lungs.
Crack some Marlboros.
It's chaos out on the oval the second they get out the door. Utter pandemonium has broken out. The word has spread quicker than crabs about the flying saucers. Of course, nowadays we call them UFOs because we're a little bit more PC. Boys recall being shocked to see girls hanging from the fences in their school uniforms, which is a weird detail to have read. Like, I read that and I was like, I'm going to include it, but it's weird.
Yeah, hanging from the fences in their school uniforms.
Yeah.
Way shocking. Way better than hanging from the fences naked.
Or so much better.
Hanging from the fences in their pajamas.
It was a weird thing for someone to have written. And then for me to rewrite and reread.
Single that out, I get that.
Greenwood and his class had arrived just in time to see the closer of the crafts begin to move away from the school, but it was still really visible. Hovering above a nearby copse of pine trees, locally referred to as the Grange. You're going to hear me talk about the Grange a little bit.
The Grange.
So the Grange, as I'm understanding, is like an area of trees and bushland, like behind the school, where there's some tracks. They use it for like cross-country running and stuff like that. It's, it's a bit of bush.
Bit of bush.
So it's about 400 metres away. Everyone stood and collectively losing their shit. The larger, closer of the crafts flitted about in the sky from one side to the other as if it was blinking off and then on again in a new spot hundreds of meters away. Isn't that exciting? It ascended and descended and turned around at incredible speeds, kind of like it was dancing about. One witness said it was like it was like watching a dragonfly trapped in a bottle, except the dragonfly had no wings. So Can someone please put that kid on a list? There was nothing else in the sky but a few fluffy clouds far away in the distance until the silence was broken by the rapid approach of five small airplanes. I fucked up that line.
Damn. That's okay, though. Just exciting. We're all on
the five small airplanes.
Were they fighter jets from the Air Force Base?
They don't know. They'd never seen planes like this before.
Oh, jeepers.
So Westall was only 4 km away from the Moorabbin Airport, which at the time was one of Australia's busiest airports.
Okay.
The skies were constantly full of the sounds of planes. These were similar to Cessnas. So they all sort of knew a little bit about planes because they'd seen them a lot.
Yeah.
So they looked a little Cessna.
Cessnas are little.
They're little planes, yeah.
Little single engine.
These weren't like big fuckers. These were little planes, little like quick planes. They were flying low towards the saucers, but every time they began to get close, this craft would like blip out of the way and appear somewhere else.
Oh, wow.
It's a frustrating game.
Vacuum travel.
Right? Like, ooh. Like it was a game of cat and mouse. After a bit of this fuck arsing around, the craft suddenly drops from view behind the pine trees. Around this time, somewhere around 300 of the school's 485 students had surged onto the oval, climbing the fences in some cases to try and get a better look. When the saucer had dropped behind the pine trees, a mass of kids jumped the fence.
They're after it.
They're after it. I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Well, you've got, I think you would be in the mind either to go to it or to go away from it. What are you? What would you do?
I think I'm a stand there and stare. I think I freeze a lot in those situations.
There's probably more than two things. You have people that would freeze.
Yeah, you've got flight and freeze.
And they'd run away, and there's people that run towards it, and then there's probably people in the middle category that if most of the people around them were running away, they'd run away too, or if most of the people were running towards it, they'd run towards it too.
That's a good point.
They'll just follow or do what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, so find do numbers in that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
They ran through the drainage ditch and towards the Grange, excitedly yelling and ignoring the yells of teachers demanding that they return to the school grounds. Can I just say, best school day ever?
Yeah.
Like, I can really picture this. Like,
it'd be cool.
Just absolute bedlam as people are running and yelling and there's fucking flying saucers in the sky. Holy fuck.
Pandemonium.
So they head in on a dirt track searching for the saucer, the brave little fuckers. A few of them managed to find the site just before a massive horde of kids like swarmed the spot, just on the other side of the pines. It's here that some of the students claim they saw the craft lift off the ground. On the ground right there were two girls, one fainted and the other dazed but sort of just managing to get up.
Cool.
This was reported by one Form 1 girl, and she said she also thinks that there were a few boys standing there at a little bit of a distance looking dazed. She says as she stood there, they were trying to process that what she saw, the saucer lifting upwards. It turned on its side and then flew upwards at an astonishing speed, rapidly disappearing from view. There's chaos at this point, distraught kids screaming and crying, some of them fainting. A couple even needed to be taken away in an ambulance.
Control yourselves, right? Kids.
Fucking get a grip. One girl says she saw her closest friend faint into the arms of a teacher and later being taken away by an ambulance. She never saw her again. She doesn't know what happened to her even to this day.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty freaky.
She had her conscience removed.
Maybe the men in black got her.
Tried the pen on her, got the pen out. It was the first. They were just developing the pen.
They fried her brain.
Cooked it, bacon and egg style.
Poor darling, we shouldn't joke. She might have just been really fucked up from it.
Yeah.
Apparently, Apparently, the saucer was only on the ground for a few minutes. Those students and teachers that stayed at the school were able to watch it fly away at incredible speed, as if it was gone in the blink of an eye.
Blink of an eye. It was there for a few minutes. That is a mighty long time.
A few minutes is a long time for something like this, definitely. The five planes, remember them?
Five.
Don't know what they were doing all this time, milling about, I suppose. They moved away from the school as though trying to pursue the craft, but they were, of course, unable to, and they were not seen returning by any of the witnesses. So they saw them fly away from the airport and away from the school, chasing after the aircraft. Didn't see them come back.
That's some Bermuda Triangle.
Isn't it?
Sliding through the envelope kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. So in the Grange, where the craft had landed, there's a massive perfect circle of flattened grass with all the blades of the grass swirled in one direction in a distinct ring. There's a ring of discoloured grass around the perimeter, which appears singed, and some witnesses claim to have seen three indentations in the grass outside of the circle. They claim that there were no tire tracks in the area that might explain what they saw. Amongst the teachers that had run down from the school to try and disperse the chaos was woodwork teacher Mr. Jerry Shepherd.
Oh, he's going to put a good spin on it.
Right.
Sheppo.
He had missed the initial show.
Oh, spewing.
And found it hard to believe the story of the flying saucers.
He wouldn't have. He wouldn't have none of it.
No. It's nonsense.
He would have been going, fair suck of the Sav. I think you're just having a land.
I think that's what he'd pull the other one that plays Jingle Bells.
Exactly.
He did, however, see the impression in the grass and was very familiar with the Grange. It was a regularly used area for cross-country running, hiking, pot smoking, stuff like that.
Sounds like a cool teacher.
I didn't say he used it for pot smoking. He just knew the area.
He was a woodworking teacher in the 60s, love. If he wasn't smoking pot, he ended up in the Grange behind the school before class.
How else would you deal with those little fuckers?
Exactly.
So he said he'd never seen anything similar to the perfectly formed circle, nor had he ever seen such pandemonium at the school.
Yeah.
Headmaster, Mr. Frank Sambleebly.
Frank Sambleebly?
Yeah.
What a name.
Right? Frank and the staff desperately tried to gain control of the student population, calling a school assembly upon returning to the grounds.
Good old Bleebs.
Where he made it clear to the school that the flying saucers did not exist and they did not see anything of importance. So, I'm sure, and that they were never to speak of these events again.
Yes.
I'm sure that worked fine.
Yeah.
Most importantly, they were under no circumstances ever to speak to the media, which had already begun to gather at the gates.
Gag orders.
Tell me, Bluey, you are 13 years old. You've just seen all of this. What are you doing?
Well, apart from the only other thing that 13-year-old boys do.
You're going straight out to talk to reporters?
I'm telling everyone.
I fucking am.
I'm telling everybody.
Absolutely. I'm leaving the assembly and I'm going out there to talk to reporters.
I'm 13 years old.
You might get your shit on TV.
I'm 13 years old. I do not know the repercussions of my actions.
No. Not capable of it. Don't care. No offense to any 13-year-old listeners we might have.
Do not be gagged. Tell everybody everything.
Refuse to be gagged. Several of the people present at the assembly remember seeing several people in dark suits standing behind the principal that they had never seen before.
Yeah, Will Smith was there.
No one knew who these strangers were, but several students actually remember having one-on-ones with these officials when called to the principal's office. And it was made pretty clear that by these people that they were here to keep the event under wraps. So I imagine that these kids that got called to the principal's office were like, the troublemakers, they were kind of the ones that were most likely to talk.
Yeah. Listen here.
So they got special
loose lips,
one-on-ones.
Loose lips sink UFOs.
That's right.
Keep your goddamn gums shut.
The students were given instructions very strict along the lines of shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah.
Over the course of the rest of that day, could you imagine trying to go back to class after that shit?
Oh, you'd be hyped up.
Oh, my God, it wouldn't happen. Those teachers had a rough day.
Yeah.
So over the course of the rest of that day, particularly after school ended for the day, lots of people, students, parents and teachers, all went into the Grange to see if the weird indentations the saucers had left were still there.
They ploughed the paddock? Well, just to cover any evidence.
Absolutely. Whilst some of the parents would believe their kids' student stories after seeing the markings themselves, the majority of the kids, their parents would never believe them, which would piss me right off. Imagine that. 500 other people saw it and you don't believe me?
Yeah, people don't.
God damn it.
It's tough.
Yeah, I'd be mad about that. There's stories from, apparently some of them even said like it caused them like great trauma throughout their lives and stuff.
Yeah, it would have been a heaps going on in your brain.
Yeah, terrible. Lots especially
of emotions,
at that age.
Lots of emotions being lit up all at the same time and adrenaline running. Yeah, you can rewire yourself through that sort of shit.
Definitely. So there's stories from other people in the town, such as the Fieries that were called the crash site. But as we have limited time, I want to talk more about the military presence, not the military president, the military presence that occurred that a whole bunch of students and teachers remember.
Cool.
So they remember seeing police and military uniformed officials attending the school and the landing site. Some say that they were within 20 minutes that they were there.
They were mucking around.
And they still remember the convoy of vehicles, as well as about 20 US soldiers in khaki, in jeeps and utes. These soldiers secured the area in the Grange where the markings were made. They saw both uniformed soldiers and officers in special dress uniforms, like the fancy ones. So like the higher ups. They were examining the circle using specialized equipment. This is some fucking exile shit right here.
Radiation. They got the
Geigermeters.
Geigermeters there.
Yes. I like your Geigermeter impersonation. That was good.
That's what I do every time I step out in the sun.
Love. The following day, the students returned to find the area sealed off with armed soldiers on duty. But from a distance, they could see soldiers with Geiger counters. It's like a movie, hey.
Yeah.
This shit really happened. The guards tell them pretty much to piss off, though. A week later, everything was gone. No sign of army presence at all, not even a fucking candy wrapper. Also, the circle was gone. The area had been burnt.
Yeah, okay.
Completely scorched to remove all evidence.
This is cool.
Right? It's fucking fascinating. So this whole thing just smacks of a cover-up, right? Students who spoke to the media were severely reprimanded. Not sure exactly what that means.
Well, that could have been detention and
maybe physical abuse. They probably mean attention. Detention, rather. I like to pretend that they were waterboarded.
They could have been waterboarded. They would have got their parents in and everyone was afraid of everything back then. So. Yeah. The parents would have been told, keep your kids
under control. There would have been threats issued and things like that. Most teachers were too terrified to ever speak of it again.
Pussies.
They're grown-ups. They know the risks. Some have stood by their version of events. That's brave.
Yeah.
In 2011, there was a reunion at the school for those who were present that day, and this was for the 45th anniversary.
45th?
I think it's like, I don't know, what's the math on that? It's been over 50 years now. Where the witnesses talked of their encounters, both with the sources and the military officials following the events. Nowadays, there's a UFO-themed playground in the Grange, sporting a 3.3-metre high spaceship inspired by the events of 1966. I have to go there.
Yeah, so they went right into it.
They absolutely did. In 2022, the Daily Mail did a piece entitled, so this is recent, obviously it's this year, "Sensational claims of government cover-up of Australia's biggest UFO mystery as Melbourne teacher breaks silence to claim senior military officers threatened him and the US president's office sent a team to investigate." That's the whole thing. That was the title of the article.
And that was the whole article.
There probably was, So Mr. Greenwood, our old mate from earlier, the science teacher.
Johnny's grandfather. Not really, I'm making it up. Johnny Greenwood's good old country western singer.
Yeah. He's come forward to the media finally to spill the beans on the government high up types that attempted to silence him. And it worked for a time. Greenwood says he initially spoke to reporters about the events, but after about 2 weeks, two men came claiming to be government officials came and knocked on his door. He says, quote, one in plain clothes and the other one senior Air Force. They told the teacher he was mistaken about what he saw and he really hadn't seen anything. And that pisses me off so fucking much, hey?
So he hadn't seen anything.
I get so mad. I'd for sure tell him to fuck all the way off. Yeah, so these cunts come and knock on his door and say, you didn't see anything. There was nothing. You shut the fuck up. That I don't like to be told what to do.
No.
fucking tell me what I didn't see, you dickhead.
Oh, Jesus, love. It's okay.
I'm mad about it. Anyway, Greenwood goes on, "I was threatened. I was told I should not say anything about it. And when I tried to explain to them that they weren't there and I was, and I knew what I saw, Well, the first suggestion was that you'd be ill-advised to go on saying that you that because you were clearly on duty drunk, and you'd have to be reported to the education department, and of course you would lose your job.
Wow.
Fuck these guys.
Yeah, this is some standover tactics.
Yeah. So he was scared silent for a little while, but not forever. He's been pretty vocal about what he saw, and he's adamant the Aussie government covered up the incident at the time. But he also says, quote, "It really strikes me that 55 years on, people are very certain about what they saw. It just beggars belief for me in Australia. We've never had an official investigation, and flatly, I think there's a cover-up. I really do. I think someone has buried the reports, which I know exist." So I did read a little bit about how people took photographs, like local journalists and stuff like that took photographs, but then when they went to print the story, the photographs were missing and they couldn't find them. And other people had said similar kind of things, that there was evidence that went missing and could never be found. So there was definitely a cover-up in place. That, Bluey, is what happened in a Melbourne school in 1966.
All right, find out where that school is. We're actually going over. Westall. Where is it?
It's in Westall.
Westall. We'll find out where Westall is. But we're actually going to Melbourne in January to
see a band.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we have to go to that park.
Who are we seeing?
We're going to see the Dead South.
Dead South, Canadian band.
Oh, this just became an even more exciting.
So we're going to drive over. So we might make that what we do on Saturday. Go. A couple things I want to do over there, but we might go and chase that up and get some photos.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So what do you make of this story, love?
Look, I reckon that's probably, and I'm probably being biased here because it's the last story of the year, but probably one of my favourite stories. I think you read it and told it and researched it really, really well.
I was excited about it. I think that came through.
Yeah. You had me on tenterhooks the whole way through.
Thank you so much.
It's a great story. I'd love to know more about it.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. It's a great story.
Nice. Well, I'll give you my references quickly and then we'll do our season wrap-up. So my references were localhistory.kingston.vic.gov.au, Wikipedia, and the Daily Mail.
Awesome. Now, that was a great story.
Thank you. Yeah. It's one of my favourites. I've heard a few podcasts on it. I didn't use any of them for research, but yeah, I really love that story. I think it's fascinating. I think it's amazing that so many people saw something so incredible and then it was just completely covered up. Nobody knows this story. No, like,
it's a great story.
It's so cool. Hey, so this really happened.
It might be a stay tuned on this one.
Yeah.
We might get back to.
I mean, I know that in the 60s there was kind of like UFO fever going on. Yeah. So people, they could have seen something else. But I can't think of many things that would fit this bill. We don't have the kind of technology to create an aircraft that looks like that. We certainly didn't in the 60s.
Yeah, we don't now.
So
we're aware of
I can't imagine anything else that it would be.
Yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Well, we have a yes, people. Bluey is on board. He's in.
Yeah.
He is in.
Well, good old Mr. Greenwood. I'm backing him. I reckon he's got a bit to say. It'd be cool to even meet him.
That's very exciting.
Anyway, it's a great story.
Do you think it was an alien craft or do you think it was like a secret government?
Yeah, column A, column B.
Column A, column B.
You know, it's, obviously, it's in a very efficient way of travel, but, you know, that was 55 years ago and it doesn't seem to be like we're using much of that technology now. So maybe it wasn't us or maybe it was us.
Yeah.
Who knows? Could be all sorts of things. But very exciting. It's a wrap up at the end of the year. Kaggy got a microphone, was dabbling and talking about doing a bit of pod work start of the year. So he got one for Christmas. So it's been pretty basic setup. We're going to hopefully try to slowly upgrade our setup over Christmas and into the new year. We're going to start trying to do some YouTube clips and Wacky Snacky's going to get a berth. And there's a lot more sort of things we're going to do. We're going to try and be a bit more structured. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things is I'm going to try and be a little bit more useful. You've done a great job all year. You've done all the research and I've just gone.
I saw a meme once about the person on the podcast whose job it is to just react to the story.
That's me.
I was like, that's a great job.
That's me. So yeah, hopefully we get a little bit happening. We did talk about stickers, so we're still looking into the stickers and maybe some other stuff as well. But we're going to try and knock it up a bit of a notch, you know, with fortnightly stories and a fortnightly Wacky Snacky. And yeah, we'll try and get things going because there's a lot happening for us in the next year. We're looking at going to be buying a house and. It's been a massive year. Kaggy with her job, you know, moving over to SA. We'd just like to thank everybody. We're going to start and just go through the list of our listeners. And look, there's going to be states and provinces that we're not going to mention because there's just too many to mention, which is overwhelming for us.
It's really touching.
But starting from top of the list, from our new listeners in not any particular alphabetical order, like, thank you very much, Austria, Dubai, Australia, everyone around Australia, United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, the United Arab Emirates, sorry about that, New Zealand, Brazil, Spain, India, Philippines, Germany, Denmark, Guam, Singapore, Japan, South Africa, Thailand, and Bahamas. That's awesome. Like, we've got, that's awesome, guys. Everyone,
that's so amazing.
We are so blown away from that. So hopefully we can, you know, be much more value to everybody out there in the incoming year and years. And
we hope to bring you some more content next year.
And I'd never admit it, but our biggest fans, our own family, Kendall's mum and dad, they listen to the podcast. Maddie, brother-in-law, Jake, good old Sauce, Teagues, all our family out there, Tash. Thank you very much. And it's a great way for us to, you know, probably stay in touch without staying in touch. It's tough. When you live away from your family, it's tough.
It is.
We miss them dearly. And, yeah, it's awesome. So thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to add?
I also want to say thank you to Ren and Jas, who also asked me when we would be recording.
So thanks for those little messages that say, you know, dudes, you're out and about, you're putting any more on, have you lost interest? We haven't lost interest.
No, we're just, it's just harvest season.
Yeah, Kendall's on harvest, so she's working, and it's a bit going on, which is really exciting for us. No excuses.
Thank you so much. Stay with us, and we will endeavour to bring you a bit more structured format next year. And
if you're celebrating it, Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Love to all your friends and family, and stay safe, and hopefully you can listen to us prattle on next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dark Side Down Under, out.
Bye.